today from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. We're going to look at the two signs of wisdom. The two signs of wisdom. Before we go, let's open up prayer though. Father, once again, we do want to thank you for your word that you've given us to look into. And Father, as I always ask, I pray that you will, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open up the hearts, the eyes, the ears of the hearers this morning. And I pray that you'll sink your word deep into their hearts, transforming their lives for your glory. I also pray that you will once again empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your word with clarity and for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The two sides of wisdom. James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Running down to verse 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So today, James is going to give us the two signs of wisdom. Demonic wisdom and heavenly wisdom. That's what we're going to look at. In the message, though, the paraphrase of these verses, it says, live well, live wisely. Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you're wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish convincing. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or to get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throat. Real wisdom, though, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work at getting along with one another, treating each other with dignity and honor. Got a point to ponder this morning from the book of James chapter 3. The life a person lives reveals the kind of wisdom they possess. James is going to present that wisdom. Demonic wisdom or false wisdom, and heavenly wisdom or true wisdom. Back to the opening text once again. Verse 14 and through 16. This is false wisdom, demonic wisdom, James calls it. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, James says, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And if you live a lifestyle like that, you can contest to this. That where bitter envy and self-seeking exist, there's all kinds of confusion and evil everywhere. Bitterness, resentfulness, disagreeableness, harshly reproachful. That's bitterness. Envy. Painful or resentment. Awareness of an advantage enjoyed by someone else. You're mad that somebody else has it better than you. A good example is an object you can be envy of. Somebody may have a new car, and you're envy of that person. You see where bitter envy is there, and self-seeking, what's in it for me? How can I benefit from it? The act of practice or selfishly advancing one's own end, where that exists as a pattern, a lifestyle, that's not true wisdom. That's false wisdom. James says, it's demonic. It's demonic. One writer even states, I'll paraphrase, the wisdom of the world, that wisdom is based on man's own understanding, man's own standards, and man's objectives. That's false wisdom. That's ungodly wisdom. You see, in false wisdom, man is king. Man is supreme. False wisdom does not recognize God's sovereignty, does not recognize God's will, God's truth, God's Bible. It's about them. It's about their wisdom and knowledge and discernment, not God's. You see, if a person professes saving faith in Jesus Christ and claims to have wisdom from God, but that person has a heart that is proud, arrogant, and self-centered, and a life that is worldly, sensual, and self-seeking, self-serving, their claims to salvation is false. They are lying against the truth of God's Word. Because James says, if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, he says, do not boast and lie against the truth. He says, this wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, demonic. Go to Romans chapter 1. Let's see what Paul says about God's wrath on the unrighteous. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, in birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. As you can look throughout our world today, we know that's what the world is leading to. People are living them lifestyles and thinking that they are wise. That's demonic wisdom. That's going against what God says in His Word. They are haters of God then. They are violent, He says. They are proud, boasters, disobedient to parents, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And God says that His righteous judgment will be upon them because their wisdom is demonic. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 31. Says Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. For the wisdom of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 14:12 states, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is a way of death. You see, man's wisdom will bring him to death. When they say they're smarter than God, that's demonic wisdom. Even with the gospel, Paul cautioned the Galatians, only one gospel in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Then he gives them a warning. He says, but if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, he says, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, he says, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Demonic wisdom. Teaching a different gospel. Teaching many other ways to God than Jesus Christ. Jesus said, there's only one way, and He's the way. Any other way is demonic. Listen to what Paul says of Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Paul's saying there, work salvation and for sanctification is demonic. It's false wisdom. Neither celibacy nor any other form of diet can save you, nor can sanctify you. Back to the opening text now. To James chapter 3. Let me read that to you again, verse 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. James says, that's demonic wisdom. Then he goes on to say in verse 17, James 3, verse 17, but, he says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Here in the study Bible, on this, the main characteristic of godly wisdom is that it's pure. It's free from defilement. You see, bitterness, envy, and selfish behavior thoroughly corrupts a person. You see, godly wisdom is also peaceable, describing a spirit of tranquility and calmness. It does not suggest compromising the truth, though, for the sake of peace. That would promote false teaching. In addition, godly wisdom is undivided, without favoritism, unwavering. It's consistent, and it's out without hypocrisy. True wisdom is sincere, not showy. You see, pure is spotless, stainless, unmixed with any other matter. It's free from what weakens or pollutes it. It contains nothing that does not properly belong. That's pure wisdom. It's gentle, free from harshness, sternness, or violence, and mercy. True wisdom has mercy, compassion, or forbearance, shown especially to an offender or to one subject or subjected to your power, and showing mercy to them. Mercy, a blessing, that is an act of divine favor or compassion. It's compassionate. True wisdom is compassionate in the treatment of those who are in distress. Paul says, on this true wisdom, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's look at salvation. On this heavenly wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 16. Let's look at spiritual wisdom. First he starts off with, in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 2, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He says, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith," he says, "should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Your faith should be in the wisdom of God, not in the wisdom of men. That's a heavenly wisdom. Spiritual wisdom, he goes on in verse 6. "However, We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? That we have the mind of Christ. And the proverb says, Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. In the ESV Study Bible of John MacArthur, he talks about God disdained human wisdom, not only by disallowing it as a means to know Him, but also by choosing to save the lowly. He does not call to salvation many whom the world would call wise, mighty, and noble. God's wisdom is revealed to the foolish, the weak, and the common, those considered nothing by the elite who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You see, God clearly receives all the credit and the glory for causing such lowly ones like us to know Him and the eternal truths of His heavenly kingdom. No saved sinner can boast that he has achieved salvation by his intellect. You see, the redeemed not only are given salvation by God's wisdom rather than by their own, but also graciously given by His doing, a measure of His divine wisdom, as well as His imputed righteousness, sanctification from sin, and redemption by God, in order that all, above all else, that the Lord will be glorified. You see, the natural person, the natural man, this refers to the unconverted, the unbeliever, who lacks supernatural life and wisdom, spiritual discernment, through the illumination of the Word by the Holy Spirit. God provides His saints the capacity to understand or discern divine truth, which the spiritually dead are unable to comprehend. The doctrine of illumination does not mean, though, that we know everything. We do need teachers, and we must understand that this requires hard work. So we looked at James chapter 3. We started off with demonic wisdom. James says, for self-seeking and bitter envy are in your hearts. He says, do not lie against the truth. Do not boast and lie against the truth. He says, this wisdom does not come from above. It's earthly, it's sinful, and it's demonic. But he says, true wisdom, God's wisdom, that is from above, is pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality. And it's without hypocrisy. That's heavenly wisdom. That's true wisdom. And then he ends, verse 18. The manifestation of heavenly true wisdom. James 3:18. He says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The law of the sower, basically. Go back to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to put this in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. Galatians 6, 7. Galatians 6, 7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So James 3:18, the manifestation of heavenly true wisdom. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I'm going to share with you once again some insights from a commentary of John MacArthur on this verse. Godly wisdom produces a continuing cycle of righteousness which is planted and harvested in a peaceful, harmonious relationship between God and His faithful people and between those people themselves. We should have peace with one another. We should not be at one another's throats continually. Then he adds, Isaiah 32:17. Isaiah declared, the work of righteousness will be peace and the service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. You see, he goes on, as James continually emphasizes, the person who professes to be a Christian must prove it by his works, his daily living. If he is a true believer, he will possess his Lord's own wisdom, and that wisdom will be manifest itself in righteous, selfless, and peaceful living. He has the revelation of God's wisdom in Scripture. And the teacher and the interpreter of God's wisdom is the indwelling Holy Spirit. Paul, therefore, prayed for the church at Ephesus. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. He later admonishes them, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, and then he says elsewhere, assures us, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. The righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God the Father. You see, Isaiah also says in Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace. There is no peace, he says. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Once again, Isaiah 48:22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. And I want to close with reading from the Bible Dictionary, righteousness. Because the fruit of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. Righteousness. Holy and upright living in accordance with God's standards, not your own. The word righteousness comes from a root word that means straightness. It refers to a state that conforms to an authoritative standard. Righteousness is a moral concept. God's character is the definition and the source of all righteousness. Therefore, the righteousness of human beings is defined in terms of God's. In the Old Testament, the term righteousness is used to define our relationship with God. with other people in the context of relationships, righteous actions, it promotes peace and well-being of human beings in relationships to one another. For example, Adam and Eve would have acted righteously if their relationship with God, if they had obeyed Him, because His commands defined that relationship. The Ten Commandments and related laws defined Israel's relationship with God. To obey those laws was to act righteously, because such obedience maintained a covenant relationship between God and His people. The sacrificial system in the Old Testament and the cross of Jesus in the New Testament show people's need for righteousness. Sin is disobedience to the terms that define our relationship with God and with other people. Since the fall in the Garden of Eden, people have been inherently unrighteous. As the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 64:6, "We are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." You see, we cannot be righteous in the sight of God on our own merits. Therefore, people must have God's righteousness imputed or transferred to them. The cross of Jesus is a public demonstration of God's righteousness. God accounts or transfers the righteousness of Christ to those who trust in Him. We do not become righteous because of our inherent goodness. God sees us as righteous because of our identification by faith with His Son. So as we close this morning, what wisdom do you have? As you look throughout your life, as people walk through life, the way they live, the way they talk, oftentimes shows the wisdom that they have. The two sides of wisdom, James says, is demonic, which is a false wisdom, and heavenly, which is a true wisdom. And a manifestation of that heavenly wisdom is righteousness and peace. So as you look at people by God's standards, what wisdom do you have? Let's close in prayer. Father, once again, we do want to thank You for Your Word this morning. And I want to ask, Father, that those who are going to listen to this sermon, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You'll bring them in the truth of Your Word. If they have a false wisdom, if they have been deceived by the evil one, if they can look at Scripture and they can match what James says is demonic wisdom, I pray, Father, that You'll convict them of that sin. That they will drop to their knees and cry out for forgiveness of their sins and cry out for salvation in Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray for those religious folks that are just religious. As James says too, they have demon-like faith. But you see, they don't tremble as the demons do. I pray that You will convict them of their false religion, of their work salvation that will get them nowhere. And that they will cry out too and ask that You will save them from their deceitfulness of their false works religion, and that You'll grant them salvation in Your Son, Jesus Christ. But I also pray for Your true believers, that You'll help us, Father, to walk obedient to Your Word. And that, Lord, we know that even as true believers, we can fall into patterns of sin that's not according to Your Word and it does not please You. I pray that You will help us by Your Holy Spirit to walk a life pleasing to You. I ask that You will help us to keep our minds focused on You. Let our actions glorify You. Help us to speak words that's pleasing to you. We can't do it on our own. We ask that you'll supernaturally help us to do this for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.